This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Live and Learn. I'm Chua Antik. My guest today needs very little introduction, Dr. Jayakuma Devaraj. He's a former two-term member of parliament for Sungai Siput and a central committee member for Parti Socialis Malaysia. Dr. Kuma, welcome.
Thank you.
So you are, by many accounts, one of the most respected politicians in the country. No one has anything bad to say about you, regardless of their political persuasions. But you lost your seat of Sungai Siput to Pakatan Harapan by a huge margin.
Yes.
1,505 votes by the final tally, or approximately 4% of the total votes, losing your deposit in the process. What happened?
I think you were on the wrong side of the tsunami. Mm-hmm. And that's basically what happened. People wanted a change in the government, and they were not looking at individual candidates or what they had done, the track record. They're just looking at the party.
Yeah.
And to a lot of people, Pakatan Harapan meant change. And that's what they're going for.
Was there a misreading of the mood on the ground from your part or your colleagues' part at PSM?
Yeah, I guess there was a miscalculation. I mean, we thought that there wouldn't be a change. We thought that with the different parties breaking up, past being a third force and all that, there wouldn't be a change, you know, and that is what also coloured our decision-making. Mm-hmm. But also we were in a difficult situation because the Pakatan didn't really give us that much space. We wanted a few seats at the state assembly level and at parliament level to bring our ideas up. We wanted the stage. And we were not given that space. So that's also another factor in the whole thing.
Mm. We'll come back into your discussions with Pakatan in a bit. But as you saw the results coming in on election night, what was running through your head? Did you feel a sense of betrayal? Were you upset? Were you disappointed by the constituency that you've served for the past 10 years? And they have very good things to say about you. Yet they decided that this time, they're going to vote along party lines.
No, because actually I expected this. Even the week before elections, the feedback from the ground was quite strong. And I was already telling my colleagues we're going to come out third. And even the question of can we retain our deposit? Because you could see what was happening at the ground.
What were you seeing on the ground?
Well, people who were supporting us before coming and telling us, please, please use the PKR ticket. Please don't stand three corner. Don't use the PSM ticket because, you know, we want to vote PKR. We want to change. You know, that kind of a thing. So that was coming quite strong from the ground. But it was difficult for me personally to accept that and abandon the rest of the PSM candidates to their fates. You know, it wasn't what we were getting at that point up to the second last day. It was just that for me, there'd be a seat.
Mm.
Whereas the other PSM candidates were all, you know, I was asked whether I could stop them from standing and all that kind of thing. So it was a very difficult kind of situation that I was in.
Did you only get this feedback towards the end, towards closer to polling date?
Yeah, after Parliament was dissolved, you know, in the run-up, before nomination, yes, we got it. It was very strong then. So I was expecting to do badly, you know, but not this badly. This was like, you know, quite unexpected. But actually, I don't blame the people in Sungai Siput because I think overall, I think still there is a lot of goodwill. It's not that they didn't see the work we're doing, but they just felt at this point in time, what was most important was a change in government and that we were not on the right team at that point in time.
Mm. Knowing what you know now, would you have decided differently?
Well, I guess hindsight makes you wiser, you know, yeah. But it's always so difficult. I mean, even, you know, other people, Merdeka Center, you know, people were saying that BN is going to win, you know, maybe even with a bigger majority. I mean, it's so difficult to predict how elections turn out, right. You know. So our hunch on it was wrong, you know, and I guess we paid the price.
Yeah. What do you think this portends for the future of independent candidates, you know, or even parties like yourself, PSM, who is trying to break into the mainstream if voters continue to vote along national issues rather than local issues?
I think it's this first-past-the-post system that you follow in Malaysia makes it difficult for small parties, you know, and you know, I guess one would have to think of growing and being a larger coalition of progressive parties if you want to be taken seriously. But I think what on our side, what we have is, I think we have analysis, which I think is still relevant to Malaysia and for the future. Mm-hmm. So because of that, and because of what's happening with neoliberal capitalism and the hauling out of the middle class and the pressures that people are put under, I think our message remains relevant as ever. You know, so the question now, how do you strategize the whole thing?
Yeah, because these are issues that hit at the brain, right? They are intellectual issues. You require all your candidates to declare their assets beforehand. You speak about the excesses of the neoliberal system, and yet, what we have learned from the past few weeks of commentary is that people vote with their gut or their emotions. Talk to me a little bit about that strategy. How are you going to convey or translate some of these policies into things that people can grasp with their emotions?
Well, I think the first thing we're going to do is we're going to engage in a constructive way with the incoming government, because we have got position papers, you know, on numerous things: public transport, migrant labour, health, education, international trade, a huge number of things. And I think we'll engage with them and tell them this is what we think should be done and have a discussion with them. That might help them a bit. And that also will help broaden the debate on these issues, on these important issues. So I think right now the aim should be to help the Pakatan government make a success of what they're trying to do. Because I think this is a great opportunity for Malaysia. And I think we should try and do that first. Elections, I guess you've got to think nearer the elections, what is going to be our strategy, you know? But I think right now this is a historic kind of opportunity for the country, and I think we should all play a part in trying to make them do some things right. If they can't do everything right, I think let's try and get some things right.
Mm-hmm. Because you have had very close talks with Pakatan in the lead up to the election, what happened then? Tell me about what went through in those discussions, and why was an electoral pact not possible?
I think basically there was no decision on their side to give us any space. I mean, they were just prepared to give me, one person, a seat on a PKR ticket. And initially when they talked about it, you know, before Parliament ended, it was a requirement that we also stand down various people, you know, about 9 people we had to stand down, you know. So it was that kind of situation, only for me and conditional on stopping other people. So it was not something we could negotiate at that point. And we came with a counter suggestion of giving us 7 seats and we stand down the rest and that we stand on their logo. And that was not acceptable to them. We wanted 2 seats, 2 state seats in Selangor, the parliamentary seat in Cameron's, of course, Sungai Siput, 1 Kelantan. Not many seats, you know, but... that was not acceptable. Pity, because, you know, we would have been quite prepared to give up the other seats and go for 6-7 seats. Yeah.
And what was their reason for not compromising?
Well, I guess they had to give seats for Pribumi. They had to share seats with Amana as well, you know. So they just felt that they're not enough seats to share with PSM. Mm. And it's basically the thing, you know.
Mm. What about your party's position in the coalition? Was there ever a formal application or formal process to be part of Pakatan?
We applied to become part of Pakatan Rakyat. That is in 2012. You know, but that was put on hold. We were asked to wait. And then after a while, Pakatan broke up. And the new Pakatan Harapan was formed. We were not invited. You know, so... it's strange because we consider ourselves as part of the larger opposition to bring BN down.
Mm-hmm.
But we were not formally accepted as part of it.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the problem.
So there are media reports that Dr. Mahathir himself was personally involved in negotiations or trying to convince PSM to stand down its candidate. Are you at liberty to share what happened during those discussions when he got involved?
Well, he he only got involved at the... almost the last stage, the second last day. He said he would meet me, and I went to meet him. And basically he said I could stand on a PKR ticket.
This was 2 days before nomination day.
That's right, in the evening, 2 days before nomination day. Yeah. and there's nothing else about other PSM candidates.
Mm-hmm. How do you respond to your, situation that PSM has other candidates who are winnable too, and this is very much concerns the survivability or viability of PSM going forward?
No, he was just focusing on me taking a PKR ticket. So I was telling him at this last stage for us to consult the party and make a decision would be difficult. Why not let me do what Warisan is doing in Sabah? You know, I stand on a PSM ticket, but I represent the Pakatan in Sungai Siput. And he said, no, the whole country, we are doing this. How can, you know, we do this exception? We'll confuse people. And basically that. He was quite friendly, but very firm and saying that no way we could allow me to stand on PSM as the Pakatan candidate for Sungai Siput.
Mm.
Though we told him, I mean, I told him that, you know, we want to support Pakatan, you know. But he said, then you take the PKR ticket. But, you know, because of... there's a whole process of... I mean, the thing is, how do you look at decision-making in a party, you know? If a party has taken certain decisions in a Congress, then... So you told them 3 weeks ago, if we wanted to stand on a PKR ticket, we could, but needed to call an emergency national meeting to set aside a Congress decision. So initially, we told the PKR team discussing with us that we could do it, but we would need a bit of time to call a national meeting and unwind certain Congress decisions. But just one day before the elections was like, you know, there's no time for that.
My guest today is Parti Socialist Malaysia's Dr. Jayakumar Devaraj, the former two-term Member of Parliament for Sungai Siput. Up next, we'll talk more about what the future holds for PSM as well as Dr. Kumar's political career. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. You're listening to Live and Learn. I'm Troy Antic. I'm speaking today to Dr. Jayakumar Devaraj, a Central Committee member of PSM and former two-term member of Parliament for Sungai Siput. We're talking about what's next or the road ahead for Parti Socialist Malaysia. We went into the break talking about your relationship or Parti Socialist Malaysia's relationship with Pakatan. Is this... or is joining the coalition, the ruling coalition now, part of the future of Parti Socialist Malaysia, you reckon?
I don't know about joining, whether they want us now, whether they see any value in us joining them now. But I think what we need to do really is to engage constructively. Because for the last 10 years, we've got positions on various issues like health, migrant labour, education, transport, energy, international trade, where we have actually developed these positions in roundtable discussions, consultations with other groups and all that. So I think we'd like to go talk to the various ministries, the various ministers, we can meet them and put forward our ideas and put it in for discussion. You know, so I think that's what we would want to do, have a constructive engagement. And the other thing that we would want to point out to them is that we should not be taken in by this whole idea of a tsunami. I mean, our country is still very racially segregated. You know, from what analysis I've done, something like 90% of Chinese voters voted for Pakatan Harapan. It's 70% of Indian voters. But it's only about 20 to 25% of Malay voters. 75% of the Malays in this country who voted for either UMNO, BN of a pass. And so I think it'll be very... So what? One of the things that we have been working on is rural poverty, Malay rural poverty and all that. And I think it's very, very important that this incoming government addresses that in a proper way. Otherwise, you know, they feel marginalized and not looked after. And you mix that with religious fundamentalism, I think we're going to be facing a very difficult racial and religious situation 5 years down the line. So this is the kind of takes that we have, which we want to engage with and say, look, maybe you should do this as well and don't forget that, you know, that kind of a thing.
Of what you've seen, how the Harapan government has functioned in the past 3 weeks, do you think they have struck that delicate balance?
Well, I think a number of things they've done are quite good, you know, the Committee of Eminent People, you know, for forming advisory committees on this and that, having the Committee on Institutional Reform. I think it's good intentions. I think those are very good. I haven't seen enough any discussion on the fact that 75% of the Malay voters didn't support them. I don't see whether that is being recognised. Because first you got to recognise that as an issue. And you got to ask yourself, why was it? You know, why did they prefer to vote PAS instead of voting when they pissed off with BN, you know, pissed off with UMNO? Why did they go for PAS and not Pakatan Harapan? So we got to address those issues. Because otherwise we're leaving that, I mean, the way in which UMNO would mobilise, you know, it's dangerous. So I think we've got to ask that question. I don't see that debate. Maybe it's happening internally, I do not know. But I don't see enough of awareness of that.
Yeah. And 20%, if that is true, is even less than what the Malay vote share for Pakatan in G13, isn't it?
I don't know. I don't know how much they got then. But the last GE, they had passed together with them. So the PAS votes have sort of gone in as a part of the Pakatan vote. Yeah, but it's low. Because you've got to look at the Pusat Undi level. And then you can find out how the voters go, you know. So I think it's a real phenomena across the country. But the question now is how do we, you know, assuage the concerns that Malays might have that this government may not look after their economic interests.
Right. Mm. You know, you've been doing this for a long time. The very reason for the existence of a political party is to effect change through power. Being outside power and playing the role that you have just explained, being advising, supporting, or consulting with those in power, does that not mean PSM's future is almost like an NGO or almost as a non-governmental advisor?
Yeah, it's true. I guess at this point in time, there's no one in any state assembly or in parliament. So obviously, we are outside the whole system, you know. But I think, you know, we went into the whole political process to highlight certain analysis, certain issues, you know, and suggest certain kind of solutions, And just because we've lost elections badly doesn't mean we're going to stop that. Because, I mean, we went in for a certain reason. We didn't go in to just win elections. And if we lose elections, we're going to walk away, you know. Mm-hmm. We went into elections because we saw that as a platform to raise certain issues. So raising the issues is important. If we don't have that particular platform, we have other platforms, you know. So I think it's important to keep working on the issues we think are important and to lobby them and to talk to not only politicians, but the nation as well about these issues. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all part of a process, I think.
Why have you made this process your life commitment? Because you've done this since 1999, contesting, at least in the politics side, contesting in Sungai Siput. You were taking on the MIC giant, Tun Sri Velu. Politics is a tough business, keeps you away from your family.
Well, I think even before politics, we were actually social activists. You know, for about 20 years before I stood against some really social activists working with urban poor, plantation poor and all that. I guess what motivated me was the fact that, you know, a concept of stewardship, that, you know, that those of us who are better off in society have an obligation, you know, to look, to do things for the benefit of everyone else. And so I think it's something, I'm not a very religious person, but I think it's something semi-religious, that, you know, that's what life is about. It's not about just making yourself rich and living luxuriously, but you also reach out for others who are in a worse-off situation. And after 20 years of social activism, we felt that we needed a political kind of dimension. We needed a political platform to kind of bring up these issues. And at that point, we never thought we would even win seats. You know, we just thought it's a good platform that we can put our points forward.
And the existing alternative platforms in the opposition parties at that time were not viable? You did not see them as aligning with your values?
Well, I think our analysis is a little bit more radical than theirs, you know. I mean, like, for example, let's take healthcare, for example. We think that we should actually have a moratorium on new private hospitals, because every new private hospital pulls away specialists from the government side, and the government side now doesn't have enough specialists, but they have a huge patient workload. And so the young doctors don't have enough supervision from the experienced people. and keep on allowing new private hospitals come up, it keeps on sucking away the good experienced people from the government side. So one of the things we're saying is don't allow. I mean, allow whatever is already existing. It won't be fair to people who've invested capital in private hospitals to close them down, but don't allow new ones to come up. So a thing like that, I think, is be seen as a bit too radical for Pakatan Harapan, you know. So issues like, but I think these are issues that need to be put into the ring, put into for the debate of people. So we need to do those kinds of things.
I have a book of yours called An Alternative Vision for Malaysia. It's a collection of your speeches that you've made in Parliament. And you wrote, when I got you to autograph it, that a better Malaysia is possible, but we have to fight for it. You know, I always held that quote close to my heart. What does this better Malaysia entail, and what are you struggling for?
I think the better Malaysia, I think we're taking a step towards it. I think institutional reform, I think, is fantastic. I mean, the fact we could change a government without violence, I think that speaks volumes for the country. But I think we need to go further. I mean, we've got to look at, we are still racially very segregated. The way in which people responded to this change, I think it's very clear. Recognizing that doesn't make you a racist. This makes you a realist. You've got to say, you can't just say, oh, it's a tsunami and everyone wants a change. Not everyone wants a change. Only 48% of the population who voted wanted a change. Right. 52% voted either UMNO or PAS.
You don't consider PAS voters as wanting change? At least in the
East Coast states
of Kelantan and Terengganu.
Well, I guess they wanted change. Yeah, and how many of them really voted PAS because they wanted that kind of conservative religion, and how many of them also anti-UMNO vote, is difficult to say. I do not know. Yes, they want to change as well, I guess, you know. But support for Pakatan then, you know, is not over 50%. So I think these are things that we have to focus. Now, what is PSM looking for? I think PSM is looking for a more harmonious society, a more fair society, a society where wealth is better distributed, a society where there is solidarity becomes the underpinning of society and not, you know, cutthroat competition. And also environmental issues, you know. I think we've got to reduce our carbon footprint. You know, if the country could come off, coal-generated electricity, you know. I think we've got to put things like that. In 20 years' time, we come off generation of electricity from coal and from oil and go to renewable sources. I think these are things that are doable now with the technology. These are things I think we should aim for.
What if those aspirations are not what the majority of this country wants, or the majority of this country's electorate want? Maybe race and religion would remain their primary focus or primary concern.
Then it's the job of the political party to educate them, isn't it? I mean, you know, because if they don't want it, then you cannot achieve it, you know. Only when the kinds of things we're talking about become understood and accepted and adopted by the people, then can we talk of, you know, doing better in elections. I think unless they can see the difference between us and the other parties in the opposition and now who are in government, if they don't see the difference, the added value of what we are saying, then obviously they're not going to vote for you. So I guess our role then is to educate, continue educating, continue talking, continue explaining.
Are you already thinking about G15?
Yeah, I mean, but what we do then, I think, really depends on what happens in the next 4 or 5 years, you know.
Is there a scenario A, scenario B, scenario C?
We haven't really thought that much in detail, you know. I think in GE15, there'll be a big push to maintain the changes that have come in, you know, and to prevent the reaction from taking over. So it'll be a ini kalila again kind of thing, you know. So, well, you've got to see what happens, you know.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I don't think of course it'll help us to have a couple of voices in Parliament, on State Assembly. But even without that, I think there's a big role for a left party to play in identifying the issues, in putting forward our analysis and arguing our case. You know, I think we have a role to play there, even if we don't win elections. Of course, it's better if we can win, but if you really can't, you know, then you don't close shop. You know, you carry on.
How will you be spending your time in the next 5 years?
Well, I have a lot of contacts among the rural people in Sungai Siput. You know, I think I'll probably go and do some work with them, explore certain issues, And then with the party, we have, you know, numerous study projects, you know, doing one on energy now. So we'll work on those kinds of things. And I guess we'll be also, like, we also plan to meet all the ministries over the next 6 months and give them our input to them. Yeah. A lot of stuff to do.
Not returning to practice?
Well, I've been having only a day a week for the last 5 years, you know. I'll continue that. I mean, just keep, because I do see people still in the clinic, but now I won't go back to full-time practice.
Final message, then. What did you take away from this election? What were the lessons for you personally, lessons for the party in general, and what do you hope to see for this new Malaysia, as you mentioned?
Well, I think this election overall is a very positive thing for the country. I mean, it showed that we could make a big change and do it peacefully using the processes that existed. Despite all the gerrymandering and the cheating, it was done. And I must say, you know, well done to Malaysians who did this thing. So I think there's hope. You know, as for us as a party, it just shows, you know, a miscalculation can be very, very costly. If you can't read the ground sufficiently well and you're not flexible enough, you can get, you know, completely crushed, you know. But the thing is, if you believe, for us, since we believe that we have something of value to contribute in terms of our analysis, then it's incumbent on us to stay alive and make sure we explore and we flesh out that analysis and make it available through other measures. And there'll be other elections coming up.
Dr. Kumar, thank you very much for speaking to me today.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Live and Learn, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.